It's the Brian Vinny Show. It's August 8th, 2012. Here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. A lot of different shows to talk about today. A lot of different subjects to cover. We've got SmackDown, at least some brief SmackDown notes. I won't lie, I didn't watch SmackDown this week. I was celebrating my wedding anniversary. That took precedence over Booker T as GM. Maybe I'm wrong. I guess not. Did watch 3-Hour Raw, obviously. So we'll talk about that. And yes, two more episodes of World of Hurt featuring the national treasure, Roddy Piper. Who, by the way, with each passing week, is in fact becoming more and more of a national treasure in my eyes. This show is astonishing. So we're going to talk about that and, have a good old time here. Vinny is here, everybody.
I was waiting to see how long you would go without just forcing me to speak. Yeah, hi, everyone. Yeah, we're going to watch all these shows. We're going to talk about all these shows we've already watched. If we watched all those shows, this would be a very long podcast.
Someday I should set it up and make you just watch all the shows again and just turn your mic on.
That's a horrible, horrible idea.
That's a fabulous idea.
You're a dick.
How have I never thought of that before? This wouldn't have been so bad because these weren't bad shows. Unless SmackDown sucked.
No, in fact, you missed a good one. Really. It was not a...
Well, I still have it on the DVR. I'll watch it eventually.
It was not a necessarily... You know, we talk about how the... Aside from Booker T being named GM, like, nothing happened on the show.
Shocking.
But there was a lot of good wrestling.
Mm.
So...
Well, why don't you get right into it?
So, yeah, Booker T is the new GM. They announced this. He came out to be GM, I guess. Alberto interrupted. Sheamus came out. They bickered for a while, and Alberto said he was not going to wrestle until SummerSlam. Booker said, fuck that, you're wrestling tonight. And Alberto tried to back out, and Booker laid down the law and said he was in charge, and Alberto was wrestling Randy Orton.
What a turnaround that was, by the way. They did a storyline where the guy is not going to wrestle unless it's in a championship match, which means not until SummerSlam. That lasted 0 days.
Yeah. And then Booker said that in the opener here, Sheamus would be engaging in, quote, fisticuffs. With Tensai. So we had Sheamus versus Tensai. Heck of a match. Probably Tensai's best match since coming back from, Japan. And, just two giant athletic men beating the fuck out of each other. Great! And finally, Sheamus won with a bro kick out of nowhere.
He won with his move, you say?
He won with the same move he wins every week.
Wow.
Yes, and Sheamus is probably the best guy to work with Tensai just because he's... small enough that he can still be an underdog, but he's also big and strong enough to throw Tensai around for the big spots.
Did he have a black eye during this match, or did he receive it during the match?
In fact, he did. He had a nice shiner after that crazy brawl he had with Bryan on Raw, is what my notes here read.
Mm.
And I watched SmackDown this week. I watched it either Friday or Saturday night, but much earlier than usual. So, I don't know what that means, but I got it out of the way. Eve tried to suck up to Booker to get a spot on his, working for him. And Teddy arrived, and Booker promptly named Teddy his senior advisor, and he turned around and told Eve there were no openings on his staff. Antonio beat Santino for the second week in a row. His gimmick now is that he says hello in 5 different languages.
That takes some talent.
Apparently, he actually speaks all 5 of them, so... they said Santino demanded this rematch, which is funny, because last time they had a match, Antonio just killed him to death. So, Antonio killed him again, and the announcers were debating, if Antonio can beat Santino here, do you think he will deserve a title shot? After beating the champion twice in non-title matches.
Well, now you know what that means, everybody. We gotta find out if he got a title shot.
Yeah, so he won here.
Let's find out... Go ahead.
He had a Daniel Bryan promo. He has a new shirt that says no, 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 and he wants the fans to chant that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we've always said that every WWE show should have a 6-man tag match?
Indeed.
This one had one. It was good again. It was Jericho, Christian, and Kane against Miz, Dolph Ziggler, and Daniel Bryan.
You mean this was good?
It was good. I know. Hard to believe. A Daniel Bryan match is good and stuff. So, There was, it is funny, Jericho's whole character since returning, he showed up, he didn't talk for a while, and then he made fun of all the fans for cheering for him, even though he did nothing and played them all for fools. Now he's just magically a wacky babyface again.
And a long losing streak.
He also had a long losing streak.
All right, let's find out here. This SmackDown, I won't completely spoil the thing, but, well, I guess I don't have to worry about spoiling it. Antonio Cesaro here has a match with Christian.
Oh, there you go. Guess he does not deserve a title shot yet.
No.
After destroying the champion twice.
Two times.
So the finish here was... there was a lot going on in the finish, my notes read. There was Vicky got involved and Dolph's briefcase was there. But the bottom line is that Jericho got distracted and Bryan rolled him up for the pin. And afterwards, he got in a great screaming match with a fan in the front row who was chanting yes and Bryan was chanting no. Stryker interviewed Orton. Orton had nothing to say. He had Jinder Mahal versus Ryback in the feud that nobody wants to see, but it must continue. Got a Ryback inset promo. He said the law of the jungle was eat or be eaten, which I don't know what nature shows he's watched.
Well, that kind of is the law of the jungle.
Yeah.
You either eat or you will be eaten.
Some animals eat and then are eaten. Should be run away or be eaten. That's what really happens. If you fail to run away, something's going to eat you. All he saw was food and feed me more. So they had a match. Jinder hit him with a microphone for the DQ. And he ran away. And the crowd was chanting along with Ryback this week. We had Truth versus Darren Young. This is the first show after AEW's Kobe Bryant joke on Raw.
Indeed.
And Cole noted here that he was, quote, so clever on that microphone.
So he said on Raw, too.
Has to be a rib. So everyone on Earth got involved, and Darren Young, one of the firemen, carried into a gut buster. Remember when he was on NXT?
He was the Black John Cena?
He was the Black John Cena, and do you remember what his finisher there was?
He had a finisher?
The full Nelson into a facebuster.
That's right, yeah.
Or a German suplex into a DDT or something. Yeah, that was a horrible move.
German suplex into a DDT? How does that even work physically?
I don't know when I saw him do it. He grabbed him for a full Nelson. He started to throw them backwards, and then somehow they just magically turned around and landed on their face.
I remember this move now.
It was horrible.
It sucked.
This move was better. Booker was on the phone with somebody. He was all hanging out with Layla. Finally, Cody arrived, and he started to suck out to Booker and then reminded everyone that he had ended Booker's career those months ago. And so Booker booked him against Sin Cara for next week. And we had the main event, Orton versus Del Rio. What I got out of this is that someday these guys need to have a top-level program on a big show, a Mania or a SummerSlam, just because the video packages on each guy's family history would be fucking awesome. So, Orton is, to my knowledge, not doing anything on SummerSlam. Del Rio is challenging for the world title here. So the finish was Orton prepping for the RKO and Ricardo attacked him for the DQ.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if they added him to...
To make it another three-way?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that would justify this. But that's what happened. And, the Mexicans tried to leave. Sheamus ran out. He threw Del Rio back into the ring. Randy hit an RKO. He and Sheamus just looked at each other, but nothing happened. And they played Orton's music as he celebrated. So Sheamus took definitive action to remove himself from the spotlight so Orton could have it. That was a show. It was fun.
Well, I'll have to make sure to watch that tomorrow. I don't have any songs right now.
All right.
Let's move on to Raw. We have four shows today. We have no time to waste.
Monday Night Raw. AJ came out to announce what she described as blockbuster matches. Oh, one other thing. It debuted on SmackDown. I assume this is supposed to debut on Raw, but there was the fire. They got a new set. I think it looks really, really cool.
All right.
Did you even notice?
No.
They have a new set. So, she booked Daniel Bryan versus John Cena for the first time on Raw, which may be true, but you can go to YouTube right now and see them wrestle on Velocity in 2003. And also Big Show versus Orton. So
I didn't have many people point that out to me.
I don't think
that was a long time ago.
It's not even that she wasn't lying. She said it was the first time they've ever wrestled on Raw.
That's right. And he was not Daniel Bryan at the time. He was Bryan Danielson.
That's probably true, too. I just think it's kind of funny to go back and watch that match.
Just, I'm sure it is.
Just because it's Bryan Danielson in all white gear as the clean cut babyface against John Cena in bright yellow pants as a heel.
Yeah.
And if you can't watch that in 2012 and think it's a little funny, don't know what to tell you. So, Punk came out. He apologized for disrespecting her, but then told her that she had made a mistake and she needed to cancel the triple threat match, and she refused. So they went back and forth, and then Cena came out.
Am I the only one that thinks that the acting in this segment with CM Punk and AJ, mostly due to AJ, was absolutely god-awful?
I was not blown away by it. I didn't cringe or anything.
AJ has got... It's always difficult to say this, but this is the term used in the business. She has great facials, but her actual delivery of her lines can be remarkably wooden. Like, so bad that when she was having a conversation with CM Punk, who actually is very, very good at this, he even came off poorly. So, none of this obviously is going to change anytime soon. They're going to push her. Someone emailed and said, so I take it AJ is the new John Cena or the female John Cena? The answer is yes. She'll be on every single show all the time, all over the place on Raw. But there are positives to her, but her delivery of some of these lines when speaking to another person is not the best.
I did note that she sounded funny when she said blockbuster matches. But I don't know. Other than that, I've seen a bunch of shitty promos. I'll just say that.
Yeah, Tiffany was worse. That's not really high praise for AJ.
No, no, it is not. God, Tiffany was awful.
She was very bad.
Look up some Tiffany clips while I finish this.
All right.
I need to hear from Tiffany. It's been too long. So, Cena came out, talked about Punk whining for respect, said the match was a three-way, and that was CM Punk's fault because he interfered in the match last week. Punk said, no, it was your fault. You came over the desk, you put your hands on me, I had to defend myself. So, show came out, but then AJ interrupted. She cut everyone off and said, knock this shit off. You both have matches tonight. Punk went into a tizzy, said he was champion, he deserved the main event. AJ said, you have a match, and the fans will pick your opponent. They were in San Antonio. The fans chanted HBK as if. So the choices were Miz, Kane, or Rey Mysterio.
You know, you say as if, but the fans were actually very unhappy when it wasn't Shawn Michaels.
Sure. Like I believe it.
Thought that it was a possibility.
Yeah. I'm saying as if to them. They need to realize that's not going to happen. So Rey won, which I thought would happen in a landslide. He got, if this is legit, he only got 47% of the vote, which I guess is almost half, but...
They apparently thought that Kane would win because people would want to see him beat up. You know what I mean?
Well, 31% voted for it.
Yeah?
I mean, if you...
They were wrong,
would you rather watch CM Punk wrestle Kane, The Miz, or Rey Mysterio Jr.? This, to me, is not a hard choice.
Maybe if Kane... I don't even know if Kane's a babyface or a heel anymore.
It's impossible to tell. It's literally impossible.
All right, I've got this YouTube video here. It says, GM manager of ECW Tiffany announces the changes will be made after ECW goes off air and NXT comes to place, it says, which is a poorly written sentence. But the best part of this is... After the word Tiffany here, GM manager of ECW, Tiffany, in parentheses and in all caps, it just says, HOT! Really?
Thanks for clarifying.
Let's hear some of this. Let's hear some of this meeting.
Can I have everyone's attention? As I'm sure you've all heard by now, last week, Mr. McMahon announced that in 2 weeks' time, ECW will be going off the air. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
That's true.
In fact, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Because what this means is that you will all be free agents and able to sign with whatever brand you want. And also, be a part of the next evolution of TV. WWE, NXT, right here on Sci-Fi. And I know...
Oh, snap! I'm about to get paid!
I know I haven't always seen eye to eye with all of you. But I just want to let you know that it has been an absolute honor and privilege to serve as your general manager. And I'm so proud of everything that we've been able to accomplish together. Now, does everyone know what they're scheduled to do tonight?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Good. Well, let's have a great show. And let's look at of the next 2 weeks as a chance to impress anyone and everyone in the WWE universe. Seize the day, and most importantly, have fun.
Yay! Seize the day!
Because I know I will.
She's drinking.
Thank you, everybody.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where are you going? Where are you going?
And then Zack Ryder has to, I guess he was a heel. Oh,
you know, then. For a large part of that, I was thinking, you know, maybe she was not any worse than AJ. She got to that one, everybody.
Wow. There you go.
All right, so Raw, yeah, Punk wrestled Ray. You could tell, in fact, that they were calling all this in the ring, and they've had tons of matches better than this. Ray hit the 619. Went for a top rope splash. Punk got his knees up and hit the go to sleep for the win. There's nothing wrong with a champion winning clean.
Some great comments here on this YouTube page, by the way. This person here says, I miss Tiffany. She was a great diva. Sucks she not there. And then this person says, wow, ECW's roster was small. And this person says, this ECW roster was fucking garbage. Followed by a man who simply says, TNA sucks. Which he spells S-U-C-K-E-S.
I love the internet.
It's great.
I love the internet. So,
And then this person, where's Tyler Rex?
That clearly is a comment from Tyler Rex.
Oh, Christ. All right, go on.
They showed Alberto parking a Ferrari backstage. We had a Wade Barrett hype video. It's pretty cool. Story is that he had grown soft in his time away from pit fighting, so he had returned to underground fights in England to rebuild his toughness, and also he grew a beard. We then had a segment that in hindsight made absolutely no sense. Alberto walks into AJ's office. He just drove up in a Ferrari. He told AJ he didn't want to wrestle tonight. And AJ said, that's okay, I haven't booked you. Which begs the question, why was he even there?
Well, he had to make sure he didn't have a booking.
Does he have no telephone?
Apparently not.
So, he said he was glad she had not done anything crazy. That made her angry, and she put him in a match after all. And he told Ricardo to get his gear. If he didn't have a match, he didn't want a match, why did he bring his gear?
Always bring your gear, Vinny. Everybody knows that.
I suppose. So the match was Christian versus Alberto. Speaking of gear, Alberto has ditched the black gear and gone back to the white and the gold. That was a good move. Match was good. It was short. And Alberto took his boot off and Ricardo took the ref and Alberto smacked Christian in the head with it and pinned him. I believe about 47,000 times in this show, Michael Cole used the phrase building momentum.
They're building momentum towards SummerSlam.
Literally, at least, after the after each guy won in these first two matches and several other times throughout the show, it got very annoying. So, Alberto wins, and then Sheamus appears on the big screen. He said that Alberto had called Sheamus a low-class individual, and he was right. So Sheamus is going to class himself up by taking Alberto's car.
By stealing his property.
He said he was taking the Ferrari on a tour of San Antonio. He had Randy Orton versus Big Show. It was good. Show was the giant who sold hardly at all and didn't bump at all even one time. And then finally Orton hit one big drop kick and Show took this giant bump with his arms windmilling and the place went crazy. And Orton kicked out of a chokeslam. They were brawling on the floor, and Show hit a spear, and both men got countered out. This, again, continues the trend. If one of these guys is in a title match, and Randy Orton is the other guy, and he has no match, why don't you just beat him? But no, they did a draw, and then Orton hit an RKO afterwards anyway.
Orton's clearly going to be in a top match at SummerSlam.
You would think. Tyler Rex and Curt Hawkins versus Ryback. I found Tyler Rex. He was on Raw.
That's right.
This is exactly the same match they did last time, I think, and they had perhaps the exact same Ryback inset promo talking about how his hunger is never satisfied, and Rex and Hawkins were next on the food chain. It went longer than it needed to. Crowd did not like it very much. Ryback pinned Kurt with his slam.
They are chanting "Feed me more" along with him.
Sure.
Unless it's piped in.
You had the primetime players versus the colons. Epico got a hot tag and ran wild. The primetime player started to leave. Kofi and Truth cut them off. Epico pinned Young with a backcracker. This accomplished nothing.
Well, we now have a YouTube match for SummerSlam.
Oh, right. For a second there, I didn't know what you meant, but yeah. Forgot they do YouTube matches. Damian Sandow took it upon himself to remove those who participate in foolish activities such as dancing. So he's going to remove Brodus Clay. Have I mentioned that I love Damian Sandow yet? I do.
He didn't go after the women.
That's true.
That's their whole gimmick. That's all they do is dance.
I guess one at a time.
I see.
Actually, I have nah. When Brodus Clay dances, he's foolish. He is a fool. When the women dance, not foolish.
No.
So anyway, Brodus came out to dance. Damien immediately ran out and clipped his knee on the stage, and he attacked it repeatedly, like set it up between the ramp and the... Well, he threw him on the floor and set up on the ramp and jumped on it. So, yeah, he took out Brodus's knee and said Brodus did all this to himself.
He's a big fat guy. If you take out his knee, he can't dance no more.
That's true.
You eliminate frivolity.
This is true of a skinny man, by the way, too.
Well, yeah.
Brian and AJ had a meeting. They were both very calm at first. Brian wanted AJ to put him in the title match at SummerSlam. She said he already had a match at that show against Kane. And they took turns screaming no and yes at each other, and it turned out to be pretty funny. We had Kelly versus Eve in the 3-hour Raw Long Divas match special.
I think this is the first 3-hour Raw the Divas have had a match.
It might be. But point being, it was, you know, if this had happened in April, this match would have been 90 seconds. It's happening here on 3-hour Raw in August, and so it went, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. It was fine.
It's better than I expected.
It was fine. Kelly won with a Hurricane Rana.
A Hurricane Rana.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, Brian. They were in San Antonio, so Shawn Michaels came out. He jibber-jabbered about DX for a while. He mentioned Triple H and Brock, and as soon as he mentioned this, out came Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Heyman called Shawn the greatest entertainer in company history, but said Brock was no entertainer. He was going to SummerSlam to fight. And Shawn started talking about Heyman going after Hunter's wife and children. Said he'd turn Hunter into a guy that Shawn didn't even recognize anymore. Finally, he predicted Triple H would win the pay-per-view. He announced he would be in Hunter's corner. Brock interrupted at this point. Said Shawn had never been in the ring with him until now, and he started slowly stalking Shawn. Hunter came
That's
up to
why
the
Shawn
safe.
Predicted Hunter, because he'd never been in the ring with Brock.
Yeah, so I guess Brock's plan here was to beat the fuck out of Shawn so Shawn would realize Brock was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So yeah, Hunter came out to make the save. Brock just laughed and left. And finally, he grabbed a mic and said, Hunter, I will see you at SummerSlam. He pointed at Shawn and said, I'll see you before then.
That was actually awesome.
And all I could think was, I hope Brock Lesnar never says that to me. That would be a sad day in Vinny Land.
Yes. He'd kick your ass.
Oh, he'd eat me alive. I mean, lots of guys on this show would eat me alive. Lots of guys. Everyone in UFC would eat me alive. I think Brock's the last one I'd want to fight. They had a tout of Sheamus taking Alberto's Ferrari to the Alamo.
I picture, like, Rich Franklin, like, tying you up in knots,
mm-hmm.
being nice about it.
Rich Franklin would lock me in a chokehold, I would tap out, and he would let me go, and that would be that.
No. What would happen is he would lock, because I know, because he's exactly like my buddy Dan.
All right.
He would toy with you a little bit, and then he would maneuver you into position, and he would put you in a hold, and then you would submit, and then he would let go, and he would calmly explain how you, too, could apply the same hold to somebody else.
Sure, yes.
He would explain the intricacies of it. Brock Lesnar would just hurt you.
Yeah, not even kill me.
And then
he would torture
like he didn't
me.
Hear you when you were submitting.
Yes.
I don't hear you. What?
No, Brock wouldn't submit me. Brock would pound me into dirt.
That's probably true.
And if I try to tap out or verbally submit, he'd just keep hitting.
Yeah.
And it would sell thousands of pay-per-views.
I think so. Yeah. I bet I could promote that to do more buys in a poorly rated TNA show.
It would have a number. It would be UFC : Brock Lesnar murders Vince Verhey.
Yep. UF4WC, number one.
No, the title would be Vince Verhey 1975 to 2012.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. So, yeah, they played a tout of Sheamus taking Alberto's Ferrari to the Alamo. They show this just by zooming in on the screen on Michael Cole's laptop. This is the biggest company in the world. It looks so ghetto. Dolph Ziggler had a boring match with Alex Riley. Jericho was there. He stood on the table and filmed a tout. I was very tired of touts and training and every shit by this point in the show. So this distracted Ziggler, and Riley's schoolboyed him and won. Speaking of touts, Sheamus shot himself spilling Mexican food in the Ferrari. Here, I'm going through my own notes now, and here is just the point in the show where I just gave up. I have a bunch of one-sentence paragraphs. My review of the next match entirely. Kane versus Miz. Kane won a boring match with a chokeslam. I got nothing else to say.
This was about the time that people started turning the show off.
Yeah.
Based on the three-hour ratings pattern.
Well, there you go. It's not just me. Sheamus brought the Ferrari back, finally. They did a terrible, fake job of making it look dirty. Like, they had rubbed mud on it, and they tore off a tree branch and took it under a wiper, and they put a traffic cone in there for no good reason. This was so lame, and so hokey, and so stupid, especially after the Raw 1000 when they showed Steve Austin destroying Vince McMahon's car with actual cement.
Yeah.
This is like, do what you can to damage this car without doing anything that would cost us a penny to actually fix.
I'm not sure what somebody on the board was talking about, but they mentioned something like, clearly Brian forgot about Austin destroying Vince's car. I think they were trying to make the point, because I said on Observer Radio, why is the babyface destroying the heel's property? Why does this want to make me... Why is it supposed to compel me to want to see them wrestle? Shouldn't the heel destroy the babyface's property? So I think that's what they were talking about when they said, clearly Brian has forgotten when Steve Austin destroyed Vince McMahon's limo or whatever. Why are you making comparisons between Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus and Steve Austin and Vince McMahon? That's a preposterous comparison. Absolutely preposterous. I'm also not sure that that storyline was leading to any particular match between those two guys. I think it was just in the middle of their feud. Their long, long feud. If you, as a listener, are more interested in seeing Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio after Sheamus stole Alberto's car and took it on a joyride around San Antonio, more power to you. But for me and 99% of the rest of the world, why would that make us want to see that match at all? I don't care about that match at all. And that storyline of Sheamus taking Alberto Del Rio's car on a joyride added zero interest. Zero! Did this add great interest to you, Vinny?
I would say it actually took away interest.
Huh. Thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. This was very, very dumb. And we have the main event. Daniel Bryan versus John Cena. I don't want to shock anyone, but this was really fucking good. I know. Hard to believe. Places going nuts by the finish. They were trading finishers, going for submissions. And Cena had the STF on, but Bryan turned it into the no lock. And then Cena escaped that and hit the FU for the win. This is great stuff. So Punk came out afterwards in a fancy hoodie, because it's the main event and he wanted his slot and he wanted his spot in the limelight. They were having a stare down when Big Show comes charging down to the ring to kill them. Cena shoves Punk out of the way to fight Show. He got Show up for the FU again when Punk hit him from behind again. He went to the announce desk to cut a passionate promo about how he was the best in the world. He would win the pay-per-view, and then he returned to the ring, and as soon as he got in the ring, Big Show punched him and knocked him out. That was awesome. And then Show punched out Cena for good measure, and he celebrated with the belt. So, clearly, each guy is going to get a week to finish on top going into the pay-per-view. But, that was Raw.
Yeah. I didn't hate it or anything like that.
It was a show.
It was a little too long. I felt it was paced properly.
As I guess best you could do, I guess.
Yeah.
Except for the main event, nothing really registered with me. And there was one line, actually, and to be fair, this may have actually been last week, but it's on my mind. When I think it was when Punk was talking to Cena last week, and he said that Cena couldn't hit the Big Show with the attitude adjustment. And as soon as I thought to myself, he has hit that move on Big Show several times, Punk immediately said, "You're not the same John Cena you've always been. You're beat up and you got a bad back."
Yeah.
Great. Logic and continuity. This is not that hard.
Although he has lifted the Big Show up onto his shoulders twice in the last 2 weeks, he's just been thwarted each time.
Even better. Yeah. That makes Punk a delusional heel.
The way they're... I'm trying to think of what they could do with the pay-per-view. It depends on who... There's been discussion over the last couple of days of actually putting the title on Cena, which I thought it was a terrible idea because I thought if you're going to do Cena and The Rock at WrestleMania for the title, then don't give the title to Cena anytime soon. So it's like a big deal when he wins it. Keep the belt on Punk until Royal Rumble, and then Rock can beat Punk there, and then Rock loses the belt to Cena in the rematch. But last few days, they've been discussing the idea of putting the title on Cena, and The Rock actually beats Cena at the Royal Rumble, and then The Rock faces CM Punk at WrestleMania, which is an interesting idea. But if you're going to put the title on Cena, then I guess the idea would be that since Cena has tried to AA the Big Show twice and Punk has thwarted it, I guess you'd have to do a deal where Punk tries to do something on the Big Show and Cena thwarts it and then steals the pin or something like that. I'm trying to think of how you could do it. I don't actually picture CM Punk able to get Big Show up onto his shoulders.
I would say that's physically impossible.
For the GTS?
I think his legs would both snap.
Yeah. Maybe John Cena can hoist up the Big Show and...
Cena hoists up the Big Show.
Punk tries to thwart.
No. Cena hoists the Big Show up onto his shoulders. Then CM Punk runs in front of John Cena and stands there so the camera sees him and then Big Show over his shoulders. Then he acts like he's hitting the GTS.
I see.
Yes, it's an illusion.
How about he picks up the Big Show on his shoulders and CM Punk tries to thwart him for the third time, but John Cena swings the Big Show's legs into Punk, who takes a bump, and then he hits the FU and gets the pin.
Yeah, that would probably do it.
I don't know.
I like my
idea. Overthinking this way too much.
You are putting way more effort into it than I am.
I'll give you an example of not overthinking. Here we go.
I'll tell you how excited I am to be part of ECW. I want you to know that I can contribute in so many ways. I can wrestle. And Dios mío, I can speak Spanish.
Well, Rosa, as you said, you can contribute in many ways. And we're really happy to have you here in ECW. Rosa, would you excuse me for just a moment?
Sure.
What are you doing here, Chris?
I'm doing what any great general would do, improving my army. It's my responsibility as the captain of Team SmackDown to put together the best possible team I can to beat Team Raw in the 7-on-7 match of bragging rights. And that's what I'm going to do because I'm here in ECW to scout the talent and see if there's anybody worthy of being on my team.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyone that you deem worthy?
Uh-huh.
Well, Chris, thank you for granting me that professional courtesy. So allow me to return the favor by granting you the professional courtesy of telling you no.
No?
No.
What do you mean, no?
I mean, you cannot just barge in here and cherry-pick talent from ECW for Team SmackDown. I won't allow it. Now, you're more than welcome to stay and watch the show only, or you can leave. It's your choice.
Wow. Which, by the way, leads to a comment here from RKOU. I like the way Tiffany speaks. She has so much confidence in her voice. I like it.
That man wrote that without wearing pants.
Followed by, "Go, Tiffany, you tell Jericho." Smiley face.
By the way, I like that the storyline there was that Chris Jericho went to the C show with an opportunity to get those guys pay-per-view exposure, and the GM of the C-Show said no.
Yeah.
We want to stay here in the shadows.
What the
God
is this? I was going to read this, but people would turn it into way too many drops. This is from Nanu 1115. He says, fuck you, Tiffany. You ruined Drew McIntyre's push. Really? Let's move on to the main event today, everybody. 2 episodes of World of Hurt.
Yeah. This show's still awesome. I thought there was a very, very good chance that after 3 or 4 episodes, the bloom may have come off the rose.
Yeah.
Nope. It's holding up fine. First episode was entitled, not making this up, Put Your Shirt On.
That's what it's called. This first show, I watched all of the episodes with Lance. We've now watched, I believe, 4 episodes with Roddy. And in the Lance season, you always knew that, like, Lance was doing his best to be a trainer. And
yes.
And the cave and the producers were doing their best to try to make some goofy stories out of it. And you know that there were things that they told this person to do this, or they told this person to do that. So it wasn't really, I mean, it was a reality show, but it was kind of like, you know, there's a lot of, I don't want to say scripting, but there was
manipulation.
It's a good word. The show here with Brady Malibu, the 3rd episode of the Roddy Piper version of World of Hurt. This was the first show where it was like, they're not even trying anymore. It's complete bullshit.
It's like a sitcom with a ring.
It's absolutely, completely bullshit. But now that it's crossed the line, it's an awesome professional wrestling television show. You've got characters, you've got storylines, you've got...
A payoff.
It is... You got to watch it, not as a reality show, not as a show about a guy trying to train the next generation. You better not have hope for anybody on this particular episode. I know that, or this particular season, I know that there were people in the other season that ended up getting work, including the French Stallion, who has in fact signed with WWE. I like to think that the episode of World of Hurt that he was on was 100% responsible for him getting signed. That was the most phenomenal episode of that entire season, was the French Stallion episode of World of Hurt. But this crew on this season, I hope they're not hoping that they're going to get work in pro wrestling out of this, because all this is a goofy pro wrestling sitcom at this point. That's what it is. It's not a reality show. It is not a show that you should watch if you want to get into the business. It is a sitcom starring Rowdy Roddy Piper and his wacky crew of dingbats. That's what this is. And this was a show where it, you know, I don't want to say jumped the shark, because this episode was wildly entertaining, as was the next one. But this was a show where it's like, all pretense is out the window. This is what it is, and you can't even pretend that it's not anymore. So with that said, the Brady Malibu edition of the show.
The first, seriously, like 60 seconds of the show was perhaps the best 60 seconds of television I've ever seen. So Brady Malibu walks in. He's ripped but skinny and short. And he is explaining to the camera bluntly and plainly that he is the best at everything. And he's the most talented and most exciting and most charismatic and the best athlete. He has the best body. And as he's saying this, he is calmly and casually stuffing socks down his shorts to give the illusion of a large penis.
Yes. And this is not even... He went out of his way to not call attention to the fact that he was stuffing his trousers.
Yes.
He stuffed his trousers in a way that indicated that he thought every single male in the entire world put socks in their pants in the morning, And every woman was well aware of this. That was the nonchalance in which he stuffed his trousers with these socks.
If any of you have ever had a conversation with someone while you're brushing your teeth, he did it with the same level of casualness, nonchalance. You said, yes, it's just part of his daily routine.
Yeah.
Is stuffing
everybody's
his shorts.
Daily yeah. routine.
Yeah. So then he finishes his talk, and he puts on his wacky gear. He stops in front of his locker, and he just takes a deep breath and goes, huh, and he walks off.
Yes.
He did this to prepare for a meeting with Roddy Piper at his desk early in the morning.
Yes.
And Roddy says, so where are you from? And Brady says, with a Canadian accent, the OC. And Piper looks at him, and he says, Southern California. And Piper says, oh, so you're a surfer guy. And Brady Malibu says, well, I can't surf. There's no ocean here. And they stare at each other blankly for like 10 seconds. They just let this go on as long as they could. And Piper explained, well, you know, I wore a kilt in the ring because I was a champion bagpipe player. Pretty hard to play a surfer guy in the ring if you don't know how to surf. Brady responded by
staring at him
with a deer in the headlights look.
Like, wait a second. What do you mean? I should be able to surf to play a surfer?
It was more like how do you know I can't surf? Even though he just explained that he never surfed because there's no ocean there.
I read it as he was looking at Piper as if to say, it doesn't matter what you think. I'm a surfer.
Yes, I have said I am a surfer. Therefore, you and the fans will believe me.
Yes.
So, Dylan, who is the guy from season one, who was the 500-pound bench presser, who was now the head trainer here, they brought him back because he's a great character. He ordered Brady Malibu repeatedly on the show to put a shirt back on. So, this is the moment. Earlier on the show, it was pretty obvious, too, but this is the moment where it was clear beyond all doubt that this show is fake, because they did a spot in the ring, and then they had interviews with Brady Malibu and some of the other guys about how he got hurt taking a clothesline. Mm-hmm. When you take a clothesline, well, you're taking your own bump, so if you get hurt, it's your own fault. So when they showed the actual move, it wasn't a clothesline. It was a back elbow.
Yes.
So what they had to do...
They called it a reverse clothesline.
They called it a reverse clothesline. So what happened here was they told the guys, do some promos about how Brady got hurt taking a clothesline, then we'll go back and find footage to put it in. Apparently, the guys did these promos, then when they went back to find footage, they couldn't find a clothesline. So they used this elbow, made up a name for it, calling it a reverse clothesline, and it sounded like that's what all the guys were talking about. I've been watching wrestling a long time, had a few matches, seen thousands. I have never seen a back elbow called a reverse clothesline before.
Yes.
So, somewhere in here, Piper told Brady that he needed to get more cut, which was funny because, as Brady noted, he was the most cut guy on the show.
Yeah.
So, Brady's response to this, Brady's option to try and improve his physique was to go on an all-spice diet.
Yes. What you ask is an all-spice diet? Let me explain. An all-spice diet means that you can eat whatever you want as long as you purchase it in the spice aisle.
Yes. Which, by the way, is a ludicrous concept on its own anyway. Just have a meal of black pepper.
This was, to me, when the show went off the rails.
Maybe right.
I wasn't sure if he went on the all-spice diet on his own, or if he was indicating that Roddy Piper put him on the all-spice diet.
Either way.
I could believe Roddy Piper telling this idiot to go on an all-spice diet. That I can believe.
Yeah. Other items, by the way, on the spice aisle usually include chocolate chips, marshmallows. Just saying. So.
He explained later, by the way, that he was in the sauna.
Yes.
This was where the show really fell off. He explains
the
that
show
he
fell often.
He was in the sauna, and he began to feel lightheaded. And the next thing you know, he doesn't know where he's at. And Taya Valkyrie, who I could have sworn was Tara on the last show, but I could just be out of my mind. She's a Lance Storm student. She's actually working in AAA right now. But Taya saved him, he said. And he explained that he'd been on the all-spice diet. And she explained that this was very dangerous. So he just calmly says, so I'm no longer on the spice diet. Now I'm on Weight Watchers. And right there, I was like, bullshit. The show is bullshit.
The show is bullshit.
So it gets better. Taya, who pulled him out of the sauna, he explains is his best friend. And they train together. And they work out together. And they cut to a shot straight out of Ohio Valley Wrestling with the Heartbreakers, where they're doing exercises that are 100% sexually oriented. They're both doing...
Let me stretch out your groin by pressing my groin against it.
No, it's we'll both do the straddle, yeah. And I will pull you, and your head will go right down on my crotch.
Yeah.
And I will spot you on pull-ups by pushing up right on your ass or whatever the spot is. And this was straight out of a Louisville, Ohio Valley pro wrestling television show. I mean, you couldn't even pretend that these people really behaved like this.
Yeah.
Preposterous.
Yes.
But hilarious.
So, yes. The key to this humor, by the way, is that they both insisted there was no relationship going on. They were the farthest thing from boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yes.
Dylan, his review of this nonsense was, this is a direct quote, I don't think Brady knows how to use his dick. Which, by the way, that brings me to another point of the show. One of the great things about it is that this show, the foul language is censored sometimes.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not. So when Roddy Piper, sometimes he'll go off on a rant and there'll be just a little bleep here and there. And then sometimes he'll be going after a guy in the ring and he'll be screaming, move, motherfucker, move! And they'll just leave it in.
Yeah.
It's inexplicable, but it's awesome. So they're doing the live match, and Brady has to do his little pre-match promo. And he does his promo, and as he's heading to the ring, Dylan runs up and says, here, put the shirt on.
Because this actually, this was important.
Actually, it's true, we missed something, but yes.
Because Roddy was explaining to him how to take your shirt off.
He's giving him lessons on how he healed his robes.
He said, you need to bend over a little bit and...
Wiggle your bum.
Wiggle your bum, he says. But, this is actually very important advice. He goes, you never want to be able to not see your opponent.
You never want to be blind.
You never want to be blind. So as soon as you're about to pull the shirt over your head, you've got to go real fast. So the point of putting the shirt on him was so when he went to the ring, he could do his bum gyrating disrobe movement.
Yeah.
Or whatever you call it.
So
of course, when he does in front of all the people, he, you know, screws it up.
Yeah.
He tries to take his shirt off and it gets stuck. Comedy.
Well, I just like two comments here. One, if you watch this, yes, it is 30 minutes of bullshit, but there will be about 40 seconds where, you know, Roddy Piper did this for a long time, had a lot of success. And there's little nuggets of information you can actually learn here.
Yeah.
And his point about taking out a shirt, it was funny, it was goofy, but it made sense. It made sense. So, anyway, he cut Brady Malibu cuts his promo here. They're going to the ring, his music's playing. Dylan runs up, tells him to put a shirt on. He doesn't want to do it. They all start screaming at each other. And Brady and Tara are screaming at Dylan, you're ruining his moment.
Yeah.
This is your moment?
Yeah.
Your entrance on
World of Hurt Live.
Yeah. So that made me laugh. So he had a match with Cole Bishop, who, like a few people on the show, was a veteran of Tulalip Championship Wrestling. The ref fucked up the finish, so they had to improvise. And that was that. And the show ends with Brady Malibu going down to talk to Piper. Piper says, you need to actually go to California. But you have the most raw talent of anyone here. I didn't see that.
I was a big fan of Brady Malibu.
There was one point, actually I forgot to mention this. He does his entrance after his moment has been ruined. It was after he had taken his shirt off.
where, and for, honestly, he was mostly a bystander to this. He was not the reason this was great. But he does a pose where Tara is in front of him, and she does a handstand and then spreads her legs as far as he can. And then he flexes a bicep while posing in between her legs.
Yeah.
That was money.
The problem is that, like, I was a huge fan of Brady Malibu, but the reality is there's no place in this business on a big-time level for a Brady Malibu. He's, like, a great character, and he's wacky, and he's small, and everything he does is funny. But where does that fit in, you know? Like, he'll never get, like, a role. They don't have managers in WWE. I can't see them signing him at his size. They've already got a Santino. Impact is moving away from the real goofiness, and they're actually trying to be a pro wrestling company now. And I don't know. He didn't look like he was going to win Gut Check or anything like that if they ever brought him in. I don't know. Maybe we didn't see enough of Brady Malibu. But his perfect place in this business is in old school Ohio Valley, which, what are you gonna do there?
It's not much of a place of business.
No, you're just gonna be there.
You're gonna
have to work at Chili's, yes, and be okay with that.
Yeah,
which is too bad, because I thought I was wildly entertained by Brady Malibu on this program, but we'll see what happens. Listen. I don't know what it is. Maybe, I don't know. But he looks smaller than me.
Oh, he's not big.
No.
He's ripped. I don't know if he's more ripped than you. You won't work it out.
I'm 141 pounds.
Yes.
So he may be a little heavier, but I don't think he's much heavier. And good luck making it anywhere at 141 pounds.
Yeah.
Unless you're absolutely phenomenal, which, as much as I enjoyed him, I don't know if I would call him absolutely phenomenal.
When he came time for him to actually wrestle,
we couldn't really tell because it just showed clips.
We saw him throwing some strikes that were not phenomenal.
Well, yeah.
All right.
So then we had the next one. And by the way, everybody, from now on, it's only going to be one a week because apparently everybody is watching this up in Canada right now and we'll be caught up after this show. So we'll review one a week. So all of you that actually can see this program, you'll be able to play along with us here on the Tuesday Brian and Vinny Show. This show, episode 4, featured the lovely Lila Lodge.
Yeah.
Who, in fact, it's a very difficult program to review.
This is going to be hard to review. We know Lila. She's a sweetheart.
Lila, as noted, when I destroyed my back, I'm trying to remember what the... It was in a match with Ken Riley.
That's not surprising.
Something happened and I nearly killed myself. I can't remember what the spot was where I got hurt. But I nearly killed myself. Blew out my back. I remember this now. I'd been doing deadlifts again, which I know that I should never do deadlifts and I should never do the leg press because both of those screw my back up. But I'd been doing deadlifts and my back was very tender and it was sore. And I remember going in there for the match, and I don't remember what the spot was, but I blew my back out. It was actually very early, if I recall correctly. And I did the whole rest of the match, and then I went to the back, and I was in excruciating pain. My back was enormously swollen. Thought I was going to die. And Lila was I think she's a massage therapist, or she'd been a massage therapist.
Yep.
But she went to work on my back for like 25 minutes. You know, she was just like, lay down, I'll take care of you. And she worked over my back. So nice. And we've done many a show with Lila. And I've only done shows in Tulalip. I haven't hung around with Lila outside the shows or been to other shows she's at. She's always been nice to us. Always been very nice. So while I did say that this show is complete bullshit at this point, and it is a sitcom starring Roddy Piper. There was enough emotion during this particular show that it is in fact difficult to separate truth from reality on this one.
It is ironic that because I agreed with you, the first two episodes were largely bullshit. The third episode was complete bullshit. I think most of this might have been real.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
So.
Lila's character was described as a girl who was big and fat and slow, I believe is how Brady Malibu described her. And that was the story of the show. Everybody was asking, why is this girl here? She's too big and she's out of shape. It was her claim. And her story was she was trying to prove everyone wrong. Started with the meeting with Roddy. And he psychoanalyzed her.
He wanted to know what was hurting in her heart.
Yes. And she said, my God, you can tell just from looking at me? And he said, yes.
Kim, even not everything on the show was real.
Well, I could believe that she believed that he took one look at her and could read her soul.
Yeah. So she explains she was lonesome in life. And it's really established nothing.
No.
So, so he had a shot of basically every guy there burying her physique. And Lila explained that she had been places where people's opinions matter. And as she said this, they put her name on the screen with a graphic reading, Lila Lodge has been, quote, places.
That was funny.
So Lila brought a training partner with her to World of Hurt. So she'd have someone to work with. And they were working. It was not very good. And the strikes looked bad. So Roddy said, come on, we got to work on your strikes. Go ahead and hit me with one. And she explained that she can hit hard, but she doesn't want to.
Let me talk about this.
All right, go ahead.
Lila threw. God bless her. She helped my back and everything like that. But one of the worst forms of all time. So Roddy was like, you got to throw that forearm. And she was like, well, I can throw forearms, but I don't want to hurt somebody. So Roddy gets in the ring, and he's like, forearm me in the head. And she does a bad forearm. And he goes, no, hit me. So she throws it again and makes a little bit of contact. She's like, I don't want to hit you.
Her eyes go wide. She covers her mouth.
That's right. And he goes, hit me again, harder. So she hits him a little harder. He goes, harder. So now she's kind of giving him these forearms to the head. And I'm like, Mr. Piper, what exactly are you teaching her here? Because she actually made a good point when she said, I don't want to hit people. I want to make it look like I'm hitting people, but not actually hit them, which is, in fact, what you're supposed to do. So I don't know if Roddy was like having her hit him as hard as she could to show her what it looked like when you hit someone.
That was the impression I got.
Or if he was encouraging her to really forearm people. All I know is, I agree that the idea to me, some people disagree. David Richards actually would disagree. The idea is that you pretend that you hit someone really hard, but you don't actually touch them. And that's all fine and good, but the key to that is that you actually have to make it look like you hit the person. And unfortunately, the forearms that Lila was throwing did not look like they would have cracked an egg. So if you want to throw a forearm and not hurt someone and not touch them, great. But it better look like you waylaid them. And that is not what these forearms look like. With that said, I don't know if I would have tried to teach her how to throw a forearm the way that Roddy was here.
Well, a couple things. We have said many times that if you have someone who is in wrestling training and this person has never been in a fight in their life and, more importantly, never been beat up, they won't know how to sell. Just they don't have an experience. And so you have to beat them up a little bit so they know what pain is like and so they know how to act realistically when you are hurt. This is kind of the inverse of that. Lila had to know what it was like to actually throw a forearm so she could fake it. Because clearly whatever she was faking to do, whatever she was doing with her arm, as Richie Magnet once said to me, actually, he told you to tell me that, but whatever. she had to learn how to throw a forearm. And as it turns out, she was not as strong as she thought she was, and her form was not as good as she thought she was, and she could not, throwing as hard and as fast as she could, she could not upset the old retired guy.
Why can't you, I mean, we saw the gym. Why don't you send her out? See, here I am actually believing that this part of the show is real. And I've actually seen Lila throw forearms, so I'm presuming this was real. why don't you send her out into the gym area where there were giant bags, giant punching heavy bags.
Sure.
Have her throw a bunch of really hard forearms to the bag, not to a person. She's not going to be hesitant to hit a bag. Have her throw a bunch of hard forearms to the bag and then tell her, as you're throwing these forearms, what is your body doing? What are your hips doing? What is your forearm doing? Now try to do that exact same thing, but not actually hit the bag very hard. And then you bring it to a human being.
Sure.
I mean, is this, I don't know.
That could work too. So then Roddy has them go through a very basic, like, tackle, drop down, hit, drop kick spot. And he has them do it over and over again as fast as they can go. And he's screaming at them, trying to get them to, he was trying so hard to make them go fast and hard enough to make it look real.
Yes.
And it was Lila Lodge and this other girl who is not going to be winning a bikini contest anytime soon. And they were having a very difficult time with it. And Dylan just compared them to watching someone shit in a toilet.
As we said.
Yeah.
I will say that this was Roddy Piper actually at his best. Because
screaming.
He made a very good point, which is, you two are going to have a fight. As he explained on either this show or another show, you're supposed to be a pro wrestler. What does that mean? That means you were an amateur wrestler, and you were so good that you've gone pro.
Yes.
So you're supposed to be in there having a fight with your opponent. So get in there and let's have a fight. And he's yelling at him, tackle her, knock her through the mat, make a cover. And he's screaming. He makes him do it again over and over. Go, 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 go. And by the end, it actually was looking better. So this was actually Roddy Piper at his best.
So, yeah, that happens. So then it's time for a promo school. And the narrator says that it's going to be very important for Lila to do well because this came after, quote, having failed to show any talent in the ring.
That's what they said.
So Casey Spinelli is there. She was on last season's World of Hurt with Lance. She's also a Toledo Championship Wrestling vet. And she had not been seen on the season thus far, but apparently she is brought back as a special trainer. So she pulled... Lila did a little promo. It was not very good, but most people doing their first promos are not. And so Casey pulled her aside and told her to yell more, and Piper tried to get her to be more intense and tap into her anger and hatred and all that. So going back for more training the next day.
She didn't do a bad promo.
Her promo was fine.
Yeah.
So the next day, Casey's trying to give her some more advice. And I don't honestly really know what happened.
I have absolutely no idea what happened.
But somebody got upset about something. And the more they talked, the louder they got. And they started screaming and cursing and stomping around. And finally, Lila storms out. Did not go over well with Hot Rod. Told her to either come back right now or leave and never come back again. And they talked her into coming back. And she explained that she was not a bad person. And she did not mean to disrespect anyone. And she was going to be a professional. And then they showed, like, daily footage of her
having freakouts,
tantrums and freakouts and breakdowns over and over and over again. And Piper tried to get her to calm down.
I, honest to God, I wrestled around here for like 12 years, and I went to a lot of shows, but I never got involved with any bullshit. I never knew really any of the gossip. It's always funny. It was like, I have been doing the newsletter since 1995, and I started wrestling in 1998, and I remember, like, people would always ask me questions about the Northwest, like the local scene, the scoops. I had absolutely no idea. Like, I knew less about what was going on in the promotions that I actually wrestled for.
Yes.
Than I did about any other promotion in the United, in the world, probably. I could have told you more about the G1 tournament than I could tell you about what's going on in Tulalip right now. So I don't know if Lila has daily freakouts at shows around the Northwest. Maybe she does. I don't know. These appeared to be very real freakouts. There were a lot of people freaking out about a lot of stuff. And it wasn't even like, sometimes you see a freakout on the show and it's like, okay, this is all, this is all BS, but these were freakouts where, like, the camera just happened to be, I can't even say just happened to be there. The camera might have showed up late. She wasn't mic'd. They had to have subtitles so you could hear what she was saying. This was very different than the usual freakouts we see on the program. So I can only assume that many of the freakouts were probably real. And Roddy made it a point in his speech later to say that if you're having problems, if you are having emotional issues and you have these type of, you're preparing for freakouts, he said, you need to bring this emotion and this anger and this frustration out in the ring. But you absolutely cannot bring that into a locker room. You bring that into a locker room and you're done for. And that was his main lesson to her. And like I said, I don't know. I was never there for big freakouts. But maybe this is Lila at other shows. But she sure had some freakouts on this show.
I will say this. I do know that while she's always been very nice to me, I do know that at another show that I was not on and was not at, and I don't know what happened, so I will not describe. I will not go into detail because I can only tell you what I've heard. But I'm aware that she was in the crowd and had some sort of behavioral issues, and she was for a while blackballed from Tulalip.
Oh,
because basically the entire roster told Kaden, if she's on that show, I won't go.
Well, how about that?
So she's, yeah.
Well, there you go.
So she's had some issues. So she's having her big match on this show. She's going down to the ring. Her boyfriend's there. Boyfriend is Dash Venture.
Yes.
Who's another Tulalip pro who, one of the most improved men I've ever seen, honestly.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. I saw him early in his career. He was not very good. I've seen him later in his career. He was much, 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 much better.
Yes.
So she's walking by and she slaps a giant lip lock on him. And in 2.5 seconds of screen time selling this, Dash Venture must be on the show next year. He has more charisma than 80% of the crew. He was great. So Lila had a match. It was her and the training partner she brought with her. So yes, this is the woman. This is Lila having a match with her own lackey.
You know what I was amazed about? So the story, or reality, whatever you choose to believe, was that they tried really hard, but the crowd didn't care, and it was a bad match, and she knew it was a bad match, and she went backstage and had another freak out. But the funny thing was, the match in clipped form did not look bad at all.
No.
And it's like, so
was this really that much worse than the rest of the World of Hurt show?
I was just kind of baffled, because it's like, if the story you wanted to tell was that she had a bad match and she's freaking out about it, you couldn't find like a bunch of bad clips to put together into a highlight package of their match? Their match looked good! And then the story was that she hated it and no one cared.
Yeah.
So it was baffling.
So she had another breakdown backstage, broken into tears. So it's time for the meeting.
This, by the way, was historic.
So she's talking about how she's been doing this since 2005, and she's willing to do anything she can to get better, and she wants to know what Roddy has to say, what advice he has for her. And Roddy's advice is to tell her she needs to take a break from the business. She needs to walk away for a while. He pauses and says, and if you think about it, you shouldn't come back.
Pat! And I believe was what he
showed
said.
Her being shocked, and then the show ended. It was the end of poor Lila Lodge on World of Hurt.
A trainer actually on this show told someone, you should just quit. I've never seen that before. Even like Brady Malibu, who the storyline was a complete and total goofball. Roddy ends up telling him, you got the best chance of anybody here. And then the other guy. What was the other guy that he feared for after putting him over? Oh, yeah. Future Legend. Yeah.
Whatever that guy's name was.
But no,
Kyle something.
Kyle Sebastian.
That's right.
Lila, he says, you should just walk away and maybe never come back.
All I could think was,
it's like, wow.
If Lance had said this to a student, would they have still used the clip of him saying, you know the one thing you're missing?
The one thing you're missing is a real job.
Yeah. So this is a sad tale.
This was a sad episode of the program.
I did some research after this. For those of you who complain we talk about a show you can never see, this episode is, in fact, on YouTube. And judging by the comments, it was posted on YouTube by someone who does not like Lila. That's all I'll say about that. And someone did an interview with her on poppingthecrowd.com. It was recorded this past June. She talked about her experiences on the show, did not talk about the episode itself. I don't know if she had seen it by the time this interview was done. And she indicated that she is still doing a few local shows, and she has acknowledged that without, quote, an act of God and plastic surgery, she will not have a WWE body. So there you go.
So she didn't walk away from the business and never come back?
Apparently not.
So there you go, everybody. That's two more episodes of World of Hurt playing on The Cave up in Canada. And as noted, next week we're going to review another one. I don't know if they can top the four we've seen, but we shall see. If you recall, the absolute, without question, best World of Hurt show ever involved the French Stallion.
Yeah.
Who has now been signed to WWE. He's down in developmental right now. And they saved that one for last.
That's true.
So the best one I've seen so far in this season has been the episode with Brady Malibu, if you even want to consider that, like, good. Depends on what your, you know, what you, you know, what your thoughts are on this show and what it should be and what it is. So I guess I would presume that coming up, there's got to be one even better. So I'm looking forward to whatever the final episode is. I think it's 13 episodes, someone told me. But we got many more to go. So that's going to be coming up over the next several weeks. And you will all be pleased to know that Lance T. Storm is going to be on the show on Thursday. And he has stated to me that he wants to talk about this program. So I cannot wait for that.
I have a prediction. He won't like it.
That is coming up on Thursday, so you can all look forward to that program. And who knows? Maybe at some point we'll have some of the stars of this program here on the show as well. I'll bet I could get most of them on the show. So maybe we'll do that one of these days. We'll see who we can get. But that's it from here, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. As noted, you can probably find at least one of those episodes on YouTube, but mostly they're just playing up on The Cave in Canada. And now that we mentioned it's on YouTube, it'll probably be pulled rather quickly, so check it out fast.
No one listened to this show.
So, yeah, that's it for me, everybody. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Apologize for all the Tiffany on this show. What can you do? We'll be back next week with... actually, we'll be back tomorrow.
That's the funniest line in years.
That one?
Yes. Because casually throwing out, I apologize for all the Tiffany on the show.
Yes. Well, I do. So we got a lot of shows coming up tomorrow. New Figure 4 in the morning. New Observer later on in the afternoon. Bunch of shows. Check it out. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Farewell.